Okay, I don't know. Fly the Conchords. New Zealand. Now, I played that video for you guys because it's funny, for one. But two, because I feel like a lot of Christians tend to approach their relationship with God a lot like Brett's song in that video. Climb the highest mountain. Lord, I would do anything for you. I'd go to the furthest distance to, you know, serve you. And there's big claims, but there's very little follow through, unfortunately. We make big promises, but we don't always do the things that we promise. We have big plans, right? I want to be used by God. Who wants to be used by God in this room? We want to be used by God, but how often do our plans kind of just settle and just lead to just a life of apathy and a life that's stagnant from the work that God really does want to do in our lives? Now, we say things like, you know, God, I'll go to the ends of the earth. But we're not even faithful in our own homes. Now, this struck me as I was studying. God, I want to be faithful to you, but so often I fall short of that. I have big plans and aspirations and goals and dreams for my life, but there's so much holding me back. We sing songs like what we're singing tonight after this message. You know, it's like, you know, I want to see miracles. Battle Drums wrote this song. I want to see the impossible. We sing these songs, but we don't see any of that ever take place a lot of times in our lives because the Holy Spirit isn't able to do his job because we're resisting him by sin, by fear, by apathy, by various things, and we're not letting God do what he wants to do in our lives. We're not letting him lead. Now, I don't know about you, but as I was studying for this message, I realized that I remind myself a lot of Peter, the apostle. See, Peter made big claims to God, to Jesus. He made big promises to Jesus. He said, Jesus, I'll do anything. I'll go to prison for you, Jesus. I'll die for you, Jesus. But just a few short verses later, what did he end up doing? Denying that he even knew Jesus. Denying that he even knew him. And I think, wow, I relate to that. Now, you may be sitting here tonight and you think, man, someday I want God to do something big in my life. Someday I want to be used by God. Someday I'm going to go and do great things for God. But let me just tell you this tonight. Maybe instead of spending all of our time thinking about how God could use us tomorrow, let's spend some time thinking about how God could use you right now, today, where you're at in your daily life. How could God use you now at your school? How could God use you at home with your siblings? The relationship that you have with your parents? How could the Holy Spirit work in your life? So we tend to think like, oh, I got to do something big. I got to preach to thousands of people. I got to have a job like you, Kelly, if the Holy Spirit's going to work through me. But that's not the truth. That's not biblical. God wants to use you. Yes, you, whoever you are, whether you're in middle school or you're in high school, God wants to use you in this place. You may think, well, I'm just a student. I don't have much to give. God wants to work through you. And we're finishing our last message in our series, Like a Hurricane, And I want to tell you one thing tonight, just one thing. I think my whole message could be summed up in this. There's extraordinary power in ordinary obedience. Write that down if you're taking notes, because that's it. That's it. That's the heart of really how we respond to the Holy Spirit. There is extraordinary power in you so that you can live a life of ordinary, or so it seems, obedience to God, and God is pleased by that. Let me tell you something. The same Holy Spirit that gave Jesus power in his entire life here on earth to perform miracles, to open the eyes of the blind, to heal the sick, to raise the dead, the same Holy Spirit that worked in Jesus' life is available to you, is dwelling in you if you put your life in Jesus' hands, if you put your trust in him, and he wants to work in your daily life too, to give you all that power that you need. He said, I don't know if I'm ever going to open the eyes of the blind, Kelly. Like, well, maybe you will. But I think God's more concerned with your character, with your obedience, with what he's called you to do in his word. And he's given you so much power. You have extraordinary power to live. Let me give you a key word here. To live for today. Today. That's something that's very important. You have extraordinary power, the Holy Spirit dwelling in you as a believer. You have power for today, for this very moment. Not for tomorrow. Now, tomorrow you'll have new strength for tomorrow. Tomorrow you have new power for tomorrow. Tomorrow you have new joy and freedom in Christ to do what He's called you to do tomorrow. But today, God's given you all that you need to live a life of holiness because of His Holy Spirit. Do you agree with me? Let's live like that. Let's live like we have power for today and not worry about the future. God's got that taken care of. You know, the children of Israel, they were sustained in the wilderness because God gave them manna each day. And they were called just to eat and have enough for that day. God will provide their needs the next day and the next. And we can look at the promises of God like that. God will meet your needs for today. But we also got to look at our power and our strength and our ability to do what God has called us to do in the same way. God wants to give you enough for now, for this very moment. If you have a Bible, turn to Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to be looking at a verse that we looked at a couple weeks ago. Ephesians 5, verses 18 through 21. We're going to look a little bit more in depth and see the effects of living a life filled with the Holy Spirit. What does that look like? I've called this message the extraordinary ordinary. Because if we surrender our lives to the Holy Spirit and we do what God's called us to do, that's what we end up being. Extraordinary, ordinary people to the glory of God. If you're there, let's read. Verse 18. Paul says something sobering. He says, don't get drunk on wine. Well, that leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Now, we talked about this word, or this phrase, be filled. And when we realize that it doesn't just mean be filled once for all, it means continually keep on being filled. It's a daily thing. Remember, the Holy Spirit is not a force, it's not a power. He's a person who wants to have a relationship with you. And so as we continually are being filled with the Holy Spirit, think of it as a relationship that's ongoing. You know, you don't have a friendship with somebody. I don't have a marriage with my wife where I don't talk to her ever. You know, oh, the last time we went out, probably our honeymoon, right? Like, that just wouldn't work in our lives. And it won't work in our relationship with the Holy Spirit. He's filled us when we came to Christ, but He needs to continue to keep filling us so that we could be used by Him to live a life that God has called us to live. Keep on being filled. What does this mean? Listen, it's very practical. It just means spending time with God, right? Spending time. How do we spend time with God? A quiet time, uninterrupted from the rest of the world, from social media, from anything else, opening up God's Word, the Bible, and just reading what God has to say. Hearing Him as you just spend some time meditating on what He may be trying to tell you, praying to Him. Remember, church, you have direct access to the Father because of what Jesus did on the cross. So taking time just to get to know God, to let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God surpasses understanding will guard your hearts in Christ Jesus. Spending time with Him. What does it mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit? It means, or to welcome the Holy Spirit's presence in your life. It means to get in a habit of living in the light, confessing and repenting. Confessing means telling God, admitting, I'm a sinner, I messed up, here's how I did it, Lord. And then repenting is doing a U-turn, a 180, and saying, I was going that way, but now I'm going to follow You and I'm going to obey Your commandments. We need to continually be in a habit of confessing and repenting of our sin. And that's how we're going to invite the Holy Spirit into our lives. Very practical stuff as a Christian. As sometimes we tend to think of the Holy Spirit filling us as this weird, like, out-of-body experience where it's just like it's so confusing. And don't get me wrong, there's mystery in the Holy Spirit. He's God, and we're not, so we'll never understand everything that He is. But there's a very practical sense to it that I love, that is easy for me to grasp, and hopefully it's easy for you to grasp as well. Now, it's important to know something. I was writing this down. It's important that to know that being filled with the Holy Spirit is something done for us, not done to us. Or, I'm sorry, not something we do ourselves. It's something done for us. It's not something that we accomplish by ourselves, although we do have a part to play. We'll talk about that. So like today, I was studying for my message, and my wife, she called me, and she's like, hey, have you eaten lunch? And I was like, no, let's go out, right? Let's go to a restaurant because I'm hungry, and I just needed some good Chinese food. Anybody with me on that? Budai up here, if you've ever been on Academy in San Mateo, the best. It's so good. Anyway, so we went to Budai and we started eating, and the waiter came out and he served me water. I didn't have to ask for water. He just was like, "Here you go, bro. Like, you look a little parched, right?" And so I had my water and I'm drinking it. And I stay hydrated eating my meal because every time I drink a little bit, the waiter comes over and fills it up again. Fills it up again. Fills it up. The only thing that I need to bring is an empty cup. Okay? That's all I need to bring. If my cup's empty, he comes and fills it. He fills it with more water so that I can get down my General Tao chicken or whatever I'm eating. And he did a good job at that. I tipped him well because he kept me filled. Now, how do we get the Holy Spirit to fill us continually? What do you have to do to be filled with the Holy Spirit? You come empty. Empty of yourself. Empty of sin. Empty of your own self-righteousness. Of all those things that you think that you could bring to the table for God. You got to empty yourself and realize, I'm nothing but a dirty sinner. I need God's grace. I'm a mess by myself. Apart from Jesus, I've got nothing good. My righteousness is filthy rags that need to be thrown away. But that's how we ought to come to the Holy Spirit. And He'll fill us when we're empty. All we have to bring, all we have to offer is an empty cup before the Lord. God, fill me. And He will. He will. He will absolutely fill you. When we're empty, God fills us with the Holy Spirit. But when we're full of ourselves, we tell God we don't need Him. When we come with our own plans, our own mission, our own self-righteousness, our own self-awareness, I've got this, I can do it all myself. I don't need any help. I don't need a crutch. Maybe even as a Christian, you come to God and you think that I've got everything pretty much taken care of. I'm not needy. I'm not empty. But when we're doing that, when we come full before the Lord with our own stuff, we're telling the Holy Spirit, I don't need you. And you're not welcome in my life. And so we reap the benefits and we don't get anything from Him. We live a dry, dull, miserable existence when that's not what God intended when He said the Helper was coming. We live self-reliant, and that just shouldn't be the case. Let me tell you something tonight. The Holy Spirit is not something that we attain. He's something that we obtain, okay? There's a difference. Attain means something that you got to work for. Obtain means something you just get, right? There's a difference. And so the Holy Spirit isn't something that we work for. And, oh, you know, I'm spiritual now because I've been a Christian for this long and I've been reading the Bible for this long. And man, like, my levels are increasing because I have attained to a certain level of spiritual maturity. That's not how it works, although we do have a part to play. But how it works is we continually come dependent and surrendered and say, God, I got nothing. I need you to continue to fill me again and fill me again and fill me again with your presence, with who you are. And He will. I think I'm reminded of the book of Acts. In Acts, I think it's like chapter, I didn't even write it down. I can't remember where it is exactly. But the gospel has spread past Jerusalem, and it's going into Samaria. And the people, the apostles, are being used by God to share the gospel. And a bunch of Samaritans get saved, including a man named Simon. Now, he was known as Simon the Sorcerer. And so he, for whatever reason, he's listening to the gospel being shared by Philip and various people. And he's like, wow, I need that. I need Jesus in my life. That was pretty crazy conversion for this man because he was a man who would, you know, wow the people with his magic tricks and his, you know, he would call on spirits and try to do these crazy things to really gain a reputation of being a really powerful sorcerer. But he made a commitment. You know, we don't know how far it went. It was just, he raised his hand. He made a decision to follow Jesus. Now, I don't know if he was saved, if he truly meant this, but he understood that Jesus came and died on the cross for his sins. So he said, I want it. And then he ends up meeting Peter, and Peter's coming to the church, the Samaritans, and he's laying hands on the Christians, and he's giving them the Holy Spirit. Now, just as a side note, just if you're interested, people ask the question, well, why was Peter giving Christians the Holy Spirit, and do we receive the Holy Spirit at a different time than when we got saved? And the answer is, we receive the Holy Spirit the moment that we ask Jesus to come into our lives. But in the early church, the Holy Spirit, it didn't work that way yet. The Holy Spirit was given to the disciples, And it was their job to go and confirm what God had done by laying hands and giving the Holy Spirit to a fresh group of believers. Does that make sense? Am I losing anybody? Okay, so Peter's doing that. He lays hands on people, and they're given the Holy Spirit. And Simon's like, wow, I want to do that too. He's like, how do I do that? So he gets out his wallet. He starts getting out cash, and he goes over to Peter, and he's like, hey, how much for the Holy Spirit? Like, what do you want, like? $2,000? Like, how much do I need to give you so that I can have this power to lay hands on people and give them the Holy Spirit? Now, this made Peter super ticked off, right? Peter's like heated at this moment. He's like, are you kidding me? You can't buy the Holy Spirit. He gets mad at him. He's like, may your money die along with you. Woo. And Simon's like, pray for me? Right? Literally, he's like, pray that none of that happens to me, please. And maybe he actually had a real conversion where the Holy Spirit did come upon him and he truly understood, and he wasn't trying to use the Holy Spirit to gain something for himself. Now, here's the thing. The Holy Spirit can't be bought. His power isn't so that you can use it for your own gain, your own popularity, your own plans. I think there's a lot of Christians out there who think, you know, I want the Holy Spirit to come with me. Because I know that God's called me to be a pastor. I know that God's called me to go over here and do this. And I have this desire to go and do this. And not that any of those things are bad, but if we constantly are thinking it's all about me and God come with me and take part in what I'm doing, then essentially we're doing the same thing that Simon did. We're trying to use the Holy Spirit for our own benefit when it's the opposite. The Holy Spirit wants us to surrender to him because he's got a better plan than we do for our lives. Being filled with the Holy Spirit is not a superpower. It's not so we can use the gifts that the Holy Spirit has given us so that we can go out and do stuff to gain our own name and our own reputation, our own popularity, our own worth, our own plans, our own goals. Being filled with the Spirit is a gift from God. Listen, and it's given to those who are empty of themselves, who are saying, I'm done with me. Lord, I want to live for you. Where have you called me? What do you want me to do? And when we empty ourselves, we recognize something, that I want to live for God. I want to surrender to God, and I want him to use me. I want to be his witness. I want to be his chosen people. I want to go where he wants me to go and magnify the name of Jesus. Well, let me ask you, are you empty? Are you empty of yourself? That what sin is there in your life? Maybe it's not even sinful in and of itself, but it becomes sinful when you put it in front of God. Something that is clogging the Holy Spirit from flowing through your life. You got a blockage there, and it needs to be done. It needs to be evaporated quickly. What are you holding on to that's keeping you from being filled with the Spirit? Maybe it's just your self-righteousness, your pride. You sit here and you think, I'm a good person. I've got this. Maybe it's an addiction. I don't know what that could be. Maybe it's an addiction with yourself, and you're just constantly on social media, constantly filling this ego that you have so that you can be, you know, you can feel good about yourself. Or maybe it's an addiction of pornography, sex. Maybe it's an addiction of drugs and alcohol. Maybe it's an addiction that's a person that you just can't seem to get away from, or an idol in your life, something that you've put in front of God. Something that's keeping you. The cares of this world. The cares of this world. Even good things can become bad things when we say, my will be done, and not God's. Maybe it's your plans and your dreams and your goals, your hopes for the future. Maybe that's actually getting in the way of you being filled with the Holy Spirit because you're so set on your plans. And God says, just surrender to me, and I'll give you a future and a hope. I'll give you what you need. Maybe it's fear. Well, let me tell you something tonight. If it's fear, look at what the Bible says. God hasn't given you a spirit of fear. He's given you a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. And let me just tell you this, if God hasn't given it to you, you don't have to hold on to it. If he hasn't given you fear, then you don't have to hold on to that fear. If he hasn't given you, all these other things to hold on to, these burdens that the world gives you, then cast it off so that God can give you his Holy Spirit, and he'll lead you into freedom. He'll lead you into something so much better than what you have for yourself. It's time to empty yourself so the Holy Spirit can fill you. That's my point. It's time to empty yourself. And I think that there's probably going to be few people who actually want that in here. I don't think all of us, if we're being honest with ourselves, it's something I want. It's something that I've had to continually check my heart on and say, Lord, is this really something I want? Do I really want to surrender my dreams and my goals for my life so that you can have the place that you deserve? Am I willing to walk away from all these other things so that you can have your place in my life? Am I willing to surrender? Am I willing to go that far? And if you're not, then you're not, and nothing will convince you. Except the Holy Spirit's still going to try to tug on your heart and convict you, and God can lead you, but I can't. Not with my own words. You got to decide if it's worth it to live a life filled with the Spirit, empty of yourself. But for some of you, you're ready for that. You say, this is what I want. I want the Holy Spirit to flow through me. I want Him to increase. I want Jesus to increase in my life, and I want me to decrease. And if that's you, I got three things that Paul talks about that are results of living filled with the Spirit. You want to hear it? Three things that we find in Scripture. And let me just tell you this. The results of being filled with the Holy Spirit don't really oftentimes look like they did at Pentecost. You know, we look at like what Peter did, you know, and all the church. There was 120 of them. They're in the temple, and the Holy Spirit comes upon them, and I'll talk more about this in a little bit, and they're just speaking in tongues. They're speaking in different languages, and they're preaching the gospel, and Peter gets up, and he's just like, here's Jesus, right? And he just talks about Jesus going to the cross and raising from the dead and being the Savior of the world, and he gives this altar call, and 3,000 people get saved. The Holy Spirit was working. And then just 2 weeks later, Peter preaches again, and 5,000 people get saved. And I think sometimes we can think of being filled with the Holy Spirit, the results are going to kind of look like that. Like, oh man, I'm going to be in the spotlight, and I'm going to be sweating, and I'm going to be sharing the gospel, and God's going to be doing crazy things, and the music, the pads are going to be playing, and there's people are crying, and it's like, oh my gosh, this is amazing, right? But it doesn't often look that way in our daily life, does it? It doesn't always look like that. Sometimes we can think of the Holy Spirit filling us, and like, we have this picture, I don't know about you, I have this picture in my head sometimes of like, if the Holy Spirit fills me, then like, I'm going to move to some third world country, and I'm just going to speak in tongues all the time, and I'm just going to like, preach the gospel to thousands of people, and you know, like, I'm just going to become vegan or something, because that seems real spiritual. You're like, what are you talking about? I don't know, it's not biblical, any of that, right? To say, well, like, if I'm filled with the Spirit, then I got to go be a missionary. I got to be a pastor. I got to be a worship leader. I got to do all these things. But that's not biblical. No, biblically, being filled with the Spirit looks a lot more normal than you may think. Being filled with the Spirit looks a lot more ordinary than you may realize. Here's three things that Paul says. As soon as he finishes the statement, be filled with the Spirit, he gives three things. The first thing that Paul says is, he says, if you're going to be filled with the Spirit, I'm just paraphrasing, if you're filled with the Spirit, you're going to worship better. You're going to worship better. What does he say? Well, let's read it. He says in verse, I think it's 19 or 20, he says, be filled with the Spirit. And then he goes on and says, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord Jesus. Do you have that person in your life who's just always talking about themselves? Like, always, you're like, Kelly, that's you. I know I'm guilty of that a lot of times. I talk about myself, and I'm like, man, later on I'm like, I should have asked them how they were doing. I just didn't think about it, you know? I had a friend who actually used to be on staff here, and he's a good buddy. I haven't talked to him in a while, but, you know, there were times when I would talk to him about something, I'd like, show him, like, hey, he's a musician, I'm a musician, and I'd be like, hey, let me show you a song real quick, and I kind of start playing a song that I've written, and he's on his phone, and then afterwards he's like, that's good, let me show you a song I wrote, right? And then he shows me 12 songs that he wrote, and I'm like, were you even like listening to my song? And he's just like, see you later, man, you know? And like, he would ask me questions, and then when I was answering them, he would interrupt me and be like, well, here's what I think, and then he would just kind of go on, and I'm like, do you even care about me? Or do you just kind of care about yourself, right? He was just constantly like talking about himself, and he's preoccupied with himself. And I just think, when you're filled with yourself, you're going to talk a lot about yourself, okay? And when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you're going to talk a lot about Jesus. That's just how it goes. And that's how you can tell if somebody's Spirit-filled. Because what are they talking about most often? Now, I'm not saying if they're like talking about themselves just a little bit, you're like, you have a demon in you. You know, it's like, no. Let's not be weird about that. Like, and plus, people who are just constantly going on 24/7 about like, you know, blah, 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 you know, just like gospel. It's like, that is so cool. But do you even like know how to function in society? Right? Like there's a balance there, I think. Or maybe I'm just really secular. But I can talk about music and movies and all that good stuff and still be filled with the Spirit. But what are you talking about most often? Is it more about you or is it more about Jesus? What are you filled with? See, being filled with the Holy Spirit is going to make you a better worshiper. Why? Because what is the Holy Spirit's job? What is His mission? He is the advocate for the Son. He is the helper, that's what it means, for the Son. What it means is He's the spokesperson. He's the hype man for Jesus, okay? The Holy Spirit is the hype man for Jesus. He comes up and He's like, everybody check it out. There's my man, JC, right? He's just like, that's what He does. And so if the Holy Spirit is working in you, we talked about this a few weeks ago, then He's going to constantly be directing you towards Jesus. He's going to constantly be focusing your attention on Christ. That's where it comes into play. And when we know more about Jesus, when we're growing in the knowledge and the truth of our Lord and Savior, guess what? We're going to have a better worship life. We're going to be able to know, wow, God's grace is so good. Look at Jesus. Look at who He is. I just see Him. I don't see my sin. I don't see the waves that are crashing over me. I don't see all my trials that I'm going through. I just see Jesus. And that will mark your life with worship. So there it is. And I think, like, isn't that kind of what happened with the early church? You know, when the Holy Spirit works in us, we're going to be talking about Jesus, right? That's what happened at Pentecost. Now, if you don't know, Pentecost is a Jewish tradition that the early church was in the temple celebrating. It was something that they were celebrating, and it just happened to be the day, 10 days after Jesus left, when the Holy Spirit came and filled His church. Now, what happened? They started speaking in tongues. Now, they weren't speaking like heavenly tongues. They weren't like, you know, halamana handa, do you want to buy a Honda? They were just kind of like, they were speaking in different languages. They were speaking, you know, some were speaking in Hebrew, some were speaking in Greek, some were speaking in Egyptian, some were speaking in Aramaic. They're speaking in so many different languages that these people who came from all over the world to celebrate this Jewish tradition, they were speaking in the languages that they could understand. Now, how crazy is that? Peter's like, I don't know the language that I'm speaking, but what's more important is not that they were speaking another language. What's more important is what they were speaking. What were they speaking? It says here that they were talking about, the NIV says, the wonderful things that God had done. Isn't that cool? What are the wonderful things that God has done? The cross, right? Jesus, right? The fact that we have salvation and our sins can be forgiven. That's what they're doing. They're talking about Jesus. They can't help but worship Jesus and tell others about Jesus. Melodies in the heart, right? They're talking about Christ. Now, I think this works for us because, listen, when I hear this, and when you hear this, don't think that it's like this only applies to like to Drew or Paul when they're up here leading worship, right? This doesn't just apply to me or to Cody when we're up here teaching the Bible. This applies to you in your daily life. This applies to you as you stand up in church and you worship the songs that we're singing. Why would I sing that song, Kelly? Well, I don't know. Maybe because if you're a Christian, God has risen you from death to life, maybe, and you're a child of God, and you're not going to hell, so you have a reason to sing, right? That changes things when you're like, I got Jesus in my heart. The Holy Spirit's working. I'm not letting anything block Him from doing His thing in me. This is going to change things at home. This is going to, remember, it always goes back to home. It changes things with your friends, your peers. It changes things at school. If you're a worshiper, then things will change. It's not just a Saturday night thing. You may think that. You may think, well, Kelly, like, isn't worship such a small part of, like, my life? Like, Saturday for, like, 25, 30 minutes, we're worshiping. Oh, no. If you see it that way, you're missing the whole picture. See, you were created to worship God. Did you know that? I don't care if you're a Christian in here or not. Your purpose for existing is to worship God. And when you surrender to Jesus Christ, you're saying, that's what I want to do with the rest of my life. Do what I was created to do, to worship God. And now we have ever more reason to do that because of Jesus. So it's not just one little part of your life. It should be everything. This is everything. Does that make sense? You guys tracking with me? Worship is the biggest part of our lives. We're all worshipers. The question is, who are you worshiping? Are you worshiping yourself? Are you worshiping the world? Are you worshiping Jesus and God as you should? And maybe you're having a hard time worshiping. Well, maybe it's because you're just not allowing the Holy Spirit to lead you to Jesus. Maybe there are things that are blocking that. You're resisting Him. You're fighting Him. You're grieving the Holy Spirit by not allowing Him to do His work to lead you to Jesus so that you can be the worshiper that you were born to be. That's a thought. Here's the second thing. We're going to be more thankful. We're going to be more thankful. Paul says, be filled with the Spirit. And then he says a little bit later, how do we do this? Or what's the evidence? What's the effect? Giving thanks always for all things. Can you guys say that with me? Giving thanks always for all things. Does that sound crazy to anybody else? That sounds crazy to me. All things? Like even when there's death in my family, even when there's sickness, even when I'm going through trials, even when I'm being tempted like crazy, all things to be thankful? That's what he says. All things to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's the thing. If you're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you will be filled with thanksgiving. And I'm not talking about like turkey gravy and mashed potatoes. Like that's a few weeks. That's a little bit. That's next month. And I'm excited about that. I'm thankful for that. Let's hear it for biscuits. Okay. Wow. I get more applause from that than wow. And Alex is from the South, so he's like, he's hallelujahing, he's doing all cartwheels. Biscuits! Okay, what am I saying? Let me tell you this. Let me tell you something. There's no room for complaining and selfishness in the temples of the Holy Spirit. There's just no room. There's no room. And believe me, I'm one to know. Like, I complain a lot. I don't know about you, but I complain about stupid things. But there's no room for a complaining heart with God's children, because we're the temples of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit produces thanksgiving in us, gratitude for all things. One of my favorite authors, his name's Roy Hessian. He wrote a book called We Would See Jesus and a few other books, and he's been an inspiration to me as a pastor. He said, God can only fill valleys, not mountains. I think that's pretty cool. Think about that. God can only fill valleys, not mountains. What's easier to fill with rainwater? A valley, right? Mountains, everything just falls off of it. A valley carries it. A valley keeps it full. What are you? Are you a valley or are you a mountain? You think, well, I'm a mountain. I'm a self-made person, you know, like I'm doing good. I'm popular. My education's good. I've got it all together. God won't be able to fill you. Not as a mountain. Not as somebody who's just walking their own life, making their own decisions, completely independent from God. God will fill valleys, and I pray that I would be a valley for His use. What about you? You pray for that? Do you want that for your life? Biscuits, people, come on, come on. Let me tell you something. I think the people in the world who are most thankful are the people who recognize their need for grace. That's what it is. The people who are miserable in this world are the people who don't think that they need any. But the people who are most thankful, they see their sin for what it is, and they recognize, man, I need grace so much. Cody and I were talking about this recently. People who have been broken over their sin are the ones that God really can do something powerful with. And I think that if you're somebody who thinks you don't need grace, then you're going to live a miserable life thinking that you got it all on your own. The most thankful people are the people who are in desperate need of God's grace in their life. Think of the Pharisee and the tax collector that Jesus talked about. The Pharisee's like, Lord, thank you that I'm not a tax collector, and thank you that I'm so perfect. And he thought that he was thankful, right, in his own way, but he's really being boastful. He's like, I'm just glad I'm not like that dude over there. And he just looks like a mountain to me. But then there's that tax collector who's on his knees. He can't even lift his head to heaven. And he says, God, have mercy on me. I'm a sinner. Well, it looks like that tax collector was a perfect temple for the Holy Spirit to come and fill, because he realized that he was empty of himself and that he needed grace. He needed God's work in his life, and he became thankful for it. And God God did something amazing in his life, hopefully. Now, like I said, I complain about everything. You know, it's easy for me to do that. It's easy for me to covet what I don't have. It's easy for me to be selfish with the things I do have. It's easy for me to have an entitled attitude. I don't deserve this. I deserve this. I deserve this. I deserve that. As Americans, we tend to be that way very often. We think we're so entitled. And if we don't have something, like James says, we kill in our hearts so that we can have it because we deserve it. But where does that lead? The world says it leads somewhere good. The world says you got to go after those things that you want. But it only leads to a life of misery, unsatisfying. Nothing satisfies that person. No, but God has a better plan for your life. God has a better plan for his church. It's not a plan of just, you're entitled, you need this, get this yourself. God has a better plan for you, and he knows what you need. He knows what you need before you even have it. He wants you to be thankful in all circumstances in your life. And when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, guess what he does? He changes your attitude so that you can stop looking at things like, what about me? What about me? And you can say, what about him in my life? What about God working in me and through me? And here's what the Holy Spirit does. Not only does he change our attitude, but in the process of changing our attitude, he reminds us of the goodness that we've received in Jesus. Church, don't forget that. You may be going through a hard time tonight. You may be going through some trials. You may be going through some temptation. Life may be really, really difficult for you. But don't forget what God has done. The Holy Spirit working in you will remind you of the goodness of God, that Jesus went to the cross for you so that you don't have to experience hell, that you've been saved by grace. Let the Holy Spirit remind you of the cross. Let the Holy Spirit remind you that you used to be a child of wrath, an enemy of God, but now you're a friend of God and even more a child of God. Let the Holy Spirit remind you of those things. Let the Holy Spirit give you a reason to be thankful in everything, even in the hard times, the highs and the lows, the good and the bad. God has a plan for your life. And when you have the Holy Spirit fill you, you'll be a person who's thankful. Because this world is not all there is. I'm a citizen of heaven. I've got the Holy Spirit living inside of me. Here's the third thing. When we're filled with the Spirit, we're going to submit to one another. We're going to submit to one another. Remember we talked about the fruit of the Spirit? What is it? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control, or meekness. Meekness means strength under control, right? And that's what God will give us and produce in us as we live a life surrendered and empty before him. He'll fill us with those things. But we also remember that the fruit that the Holy Spirit bears in us, it's not for us so that we could hoard, but it's so that we could give out, so we could share it with other people. I don't have peace so that I can just spend it all on myself in my own little world. I have it so I can let a world, a dying, crazy, anxiety-filled world know that there is peace in Jesus, and they can have it. I don't have patience just for myself. I have it for my wife, for my daughter, for you guys, for every, you know, because that's what it's for, so that the world can see you and they can taste and see that God is good, that the Lord is good, and that he is worthy of surrendering to. That's what the fruit of the Spirit is, so we need to remember that. But let me ask you, Christian, how is that working out in your life with your relationships? Because Paul says, he says, we're submitting to one another out of the fear of God. That should be our lives if we're filled with the Holy Spirit. We should have grace for each other. We should look at each other and say, you're no better than me. It's all level ground at the foot of the cross. We're all here. We're all sinners. We're all in need of God's grace. I have honor for you. You have honor for me. I'm respecting the authority in my life. That's what it's going to practically look like when we're letting Jesus do his mission by filling us with the Holy Spirit. How are you doing this? Let's talk about what Paul even gets onto later in Ephesians chapter 6. He says, children, obey your parents. It's on the same thought as be filled with the Holy Spirit. So you can't say, I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm going to go evangelize. I'm going to go share my faith. I'm going to go do this in my quiet time. I'm going to, you know, hang out with my small group and just be real honest. And I'm going to cry and worship during, you know, the songs. But I'm going to go home and backtalk my parents and disrespect them and dishonor them and treat them like they don't mean anything. Does that convict you? If it does, that's good. The Holy Spirit's working. Let him do it. Your siblings at home, you think, they're my younger siblings. They gotta submit to me or get hit, right? No. That's not what Jesus said. That's not what Paul says. We're to submit to one another. You gotta have more patience and more love and more kindness and more sacrificial love for your siblings. Respect them and honor them and wow, they're gonna see that and see that something different is going on inside of you. The Holy Spirit is actually working and you're letting him work. With your siblings, with your teachers, with your leaders, with authority in your life. Do you think that God's honored by your disrespect of authority? No, that's hypocrisy. If you try to live in the church and submit to God's rule, but I'm not submitting to anybody else, you're missing the point. You're missing the Holy Spirit's work, what he's doing with your peers. Let me tell you this. God is more concerned with your character than he is with your commission. Now, that may sound kind of strange to some of you because you're like, but Jesus said to go into the whole world and preach the gospel to every nation. You're like, yeah, but what about your heart? You got a bad attitude? God's more concerned about your character than your commission. God's more concerned about your heart than your hard work. Isn't that true? When we look at the Bible, we look at the sacrifices that men and women gave to God, and if they didn't have a heart in it, it's more out of obligation, God didn't receive it. God wants to use you. He wants you to be filled with the Holy Spirit, but first he wants your heart surrendered to him. He wants revival to happen in your world, but he wants it in your heart first. He wants it in this city, but it starts with you. Are you surrendered to the Holy Spirit? Are you just letting him lead you? See, the Holy Spirit wants to fill you with extraordinary power so that you could do what seems like ordinary stuff, ordinary work, ordinary things. He's giving you the Holy Spirit so you can live holy. And there's that word again. Today. Not tomorrow. Tomorrow will come and he'll call you to be holy and faithful and surrendered tomorrow. But today is today. I think that that's enough for me. I look at the rest of the week and I'm like, oh gosh, I'm supposed to like surrender to God and withstand temptation and trials all next week. I look at that and I get discouraged. I get anxious. But God says, don't worry about that. Just worry about being faithful now, today, in your life. And let me just tell you something else. Don't worry spending all your time looking for something bigger to happen. Just be faithful with what's right in front of you. You know, so often we think like, oh, it's greener on the other side. I'm going to go over there and God's going to use me in a bigger platform. I got to look for the bigger platform. I got to look for the bigger spotlight. And God's just like, what are you doing? Be faithful with the little things. I've given you little things, and if you treat those little things like they're big things, oh, to God be the glory. The Holy Spirit's working in your life. Don't let opportunities pass you by. Live for today. You have the Holy Spirit living in you, and his work, if you let him, there's a stipulation. His work, if you let him, will cause you to be a better worshiper. You'll have a better picture of Jesus in your life so that you can not only worship him when we sing, but you can go out into this world and shine brightly for him because, hey, I know Jesus. I know him intimately. I know him personally. And that's going to affect everything in your life. The Holy Spirit wants to work in you. And if you let him, he'll make you a more thankful person in your life. No matter what you go through. Because you know that grace is sufficient for you. His power works best in your weakness. So no matter what you go through, if the Holy Spirit's working you, you're going to be a thankful person saying, yeah, my world may be crumbling, but I stand firm on the foundation of Christ and what he's done for me. I'm a child of heaven because of what he's done. His work in you, if you let him, will make you into a more humble, more submissive person in your relationships. Remember, it starts at home. It starts at home. Don't be a hypocrite, but let the Holy Spirit lead you. And don't forget this either. Don't forget that it's impossible to do any of these things without the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. I'm sorry, nothing. You're going to mess up every time. I try to be thankful. I end up just getting stressed out, and I start complaining. I get bitter, and it's just nothing good on my own. But when I allow the Holy Spirit to lead me, he will. But then I got to follow. Am I willing to do that? Are you willing to follow him wherever he leads? So come empty yourself. Empty yourself of all that sin, all those extra things that you don't need to be carrying. Even if those plans are there, you think, well, this is like my baby. This is my dream. This is my hope and my goal. Give it up to the Lord. Surrender that to him and trust that the Holy Spirit will lead you where he needs you to go. God knows your life way better than you know it. His plans for you are way better than the plans that you have for yourself. Don't worry about that. Trust him. Surrender it to him. Come empty so that he can fill you afresh, and let him lead you so that you can actively follow him. Let me just say this, there may come a day when the Holy Spirit leads you to a different adventure of faith, the one that maybe you've been dreaming about. There may be a time when the Holy Spirit leads you to a different city or a different state or a different country. The Holy Spirit may lead you to go and be a pastor someday. The Holy Spirit may lead you to be a worship leader, to be a counselor, to be a teacher. The Holy Spirit may lead you to do some ministry in some specific way someday. But today he's leading you to be obedient where you're at. Today, don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about those things. Give those to God. He'll take them and he'll do an amazing work to his glory. He'll lift you up. But today, there's extraordinary power in ordinary obedience. God is searching this room for a heart that is just saying, here I am, Lord. I'm obedient to you. No matter what, I'll be faithful today. Help me with your Holy Spirit's power. So do it. Father, we thank you for your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, you're welcome in our lives. Fill us afresh. I pray that we would continually come empty before you, emptying ourselves again and again so that you could fill us. Lord, fill me afresh. Fill us afresh tonight. I pray that we wouldn't let sin block you from flowing. I pray that we wouldn't let our own hopes and dreams get in the way of you flowing and leading. I pray that we wouldn't be prideful people. I pray that we'd be humble before you, Lord, humble before others, and that we would take the fruit that you've given to us, and we'd let a world know that there is a God who loves them, that Jesus is alive. Father, help us. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand up, and hey, let's actually worship. If you've been given a reason to worship, and I think every one of you has been given that reason, if you want the Spirit to be filling in your life, you have a heart of thanksgiving because of that, remember what Jesus has done on the cross, that should lead you to worship God with no reserve, with no regrets. He's worthy, am I right? Let's sing, let's worship.